This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
You gotta be very kinky to end up in Madame Pomfrey's office.
Yo, Pomfrey! I got a mandragora root stuck in my butthole. It won't shut up.
Oh, yeah! Hold on 1 second. I gotta get my mud
Madame
stuff.
Pomfrey, we used an enlargement spell and it went wrong.
Oh, my! Well, we'll just have to suck out the magic now, won't we? Boom.
Live from Steve-O's basement, it's Friday Night Fan Fiction, the online internet game show where everybody wins and everybody loses. Tonight we have some of the most unsavory fan-written fiction imaginable being read by our wonderfully selected candidates, the contestants. Our talented staff, the referee, will be watching them with eagle ears to make sure they maintain their composure or die trying. Did I say die? I meant to say drink. It's wacky. It's outrageous. It's America's favorite pastime next to football, baseball, basketball, NASCAR, and poker. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Context, like how it feels really good when it comes into your ass and going out.
What?
Well, you know,
okay.
What's really important?
What did I miss?
Is that the only way for men to experience a true orgasm is through anal stimulation?
What the fuck?
Prostate stimulation.
What the hell is going on?
The male orgasm is a
myth. We timed that perfectly.
No, the male orgasm is real.
No, the male orgasm is not as good.
What is going on?
He's just used to the show.
Well,
nothing.
Steve,
nothing.
We were just talking about, you know, your closet.
There's nothing. My closet's full right now.
I know it's full.
It's like when somebody gives you a huge present for your birthday, and then there's like 17 boxes, and then at the bottom of the smallest box is just a Polaroid of Goatsy.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I'm going to offer that.
It's Goatception.
Okay, Steve, if you get me that for my birthday, I won't be upset.
Oh, I am going to do that. This is Friday Night Fan Fiction, part 5 of... Oh, God, are we still reading this?
Yes.
Yep.
According to my Google Doc count, we are past the halfway point.
Also, where the hell did David go?
Dave, I swear to...
You might have to call him, because David...
I swear to goddamn, Dave.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Friday Night Fan Fiction. The best place to hear people be angry at each other and still call themselves friends.
I disappeared for a small bit. I came back and all I heard was...
Again.
I didn't know we had bears on the show.
Making allegories to the sound of my anus. I remember your anus. It's still a planet.
They changed it to your rectum in $28.99.
Dave,
you're not supposed to tell everyone our future secrets. God damn it, man.
Future secrets? What
sorry.
Is this, fucking Chrono Trigger?
Should I put the cure for cure AIDS back?
That's not the song from Chrono Trigger. The song from Chrono Trigger is "When All Strangers to Love."
That's oh, what?
And with that, I'm quitting the show.
No, David, no.
I like how you hung up and didn't call
David
again.
Died.
Because I get confused by technology. All right.
That explains so much.
We are back to reading Maho Shoujo Kaleido Amethyst. We are at P62.
P62.
Does anybody have a bingo? P62.
No.
Bingo.
Venus.
Hey, you don't got to.
Grandma's legs.
All right.
Legs.
Because I hate David, David goes first.
Why me?
Because you go first.
Okay, no. For the tiniest bit of setup, what's currently happening is Harry is for some reason getting a physical at Madame Pomfrey's, in the hospital or whatever the fucking actual name of the wing is in Hogwarts, because it's an excuse to have him almost have sex, but not really.
Well, make sure you ejaculate very nice and hard, Madame Pomfrey, Harry Potter, woman, ghost thing, whatever you are.
Oh, yes, and for anyone not keeping up, and I don't know why you wouldn't, everyone, literally everyone in the entire school thinks that Harry is a girl.
You know the best thing? We're a week behind in our posting right now. As in, the one from 2 weeks ago was just posted last Friday.
Whose fault is that?
And what's funny is that it doesn't matter what episode you come in on. It's still the fucking same shit.
I like how he danced around my question.
I don't dance. I answered you. I jiggle.
You're a cat. You don't dance. That was a fun movie. God damn it. All right, anyway, let's do this fucking shit. You're a cat now.
Yeah.
All right, you said P62, right?
P62.
It's almost 69.
Whoa,
that's the most sex we've experienced in this fic.
Whoever gets to read 69 has to take like 5 drinks. When we get to 69, everyone drinks.
Hang on, I gotta go grab my alcohol.
I have no beverages on hand right now.
Sounds like somebody's got a problem.
You always have a beverage on hand.
I'm drinking a cup of my own urine.
This podcast is rated M for Mature. If you think that Yan Yoshi is really stupid and lame, then you can't listen. That probably doesn't have anything to do with your maturity, but you just can't listen.
Also, we are almost exactly halfway through the story, and there hasn't been a lime or lemon sex scene.
Well, Harry's massive 19-inch erection erupted from his girlfriend.
Oh, I only
David Hubbard, take it away.
That's right, Ken. It's time for Mahou Shoujo Kaleido Amethyst by Kenjin 666. P62, ready, go.
Understood.
Harry sat Lin aside and stripped himself without hesitation.
Bam, right into the sexy stuff.
Folded his clothes up and sat them at the foot of his bed, now clad in his
folding
boxers and visor.
Visor?
Really?
Visor.
Oh, yeah, because he can't look at people because he has like Medusa vision or some shit.
Oh, did that really happen?
It's basically like Cyclops. He can't look at people directly anymore.
Harry then pulled the ribbon out of his hair, allowing it to drape down to his ankles.
So Harry is still a girl. Good to know.
No.
Do you need me to remove the blindfold as well?
He asked as he stood before the nurse. Harry pointedly ignored the lewd stares of his invisible servants wandering across his body.
Not yet, Pumphrey answered him. I have to admit, though, I am a bit surprised.
What are you surprised about? The hybrid wondered.
You wiener!
Sorry. Oh.
I'm surprised you stripped without throwing a fit like most of my patients do. You should hear some of them whine. Like they have anything I haven't seen before.
She said with a short laugh, so...
Holly giggled from her perch on the corner of the bed.
Considering how many times Harry's wound up in a compromising situation with the girls at home, it's no surprise my partner's lost any nudity taboos.
Harry glared playfully at the elemental through closed eyes.
Those were all accidents, I'll have you know.
I find that hard to believe after the fifth time you ended up face-planting in between their breast and thighs.
Oh, she man, both at the same time? That's skill.
Madame Pomfrey waved her wand over Harry's head, scanning for any magical links beside his familiar bond to his cat and his basilisk for her records. Her eyes widened when she found two links leading to an empty spot of air by the back wall.
Mr. Potter, do you have any other familiars other than Holly and Lynn here in the room with us?
She asked cautiously. Harry sent a look back to Holly, who was now using his pile of clothes as a makeshift bed. Is he internalizing this? Okay, so Steve, add some echo to this.
Yeah.
All right, that means everybody shut up until I'm done reading it.
No.
Shut up.
I just go ahead and tell her. She's under a magical oath to keep her our secrets.
After all the effort we put, fuck.
God, okay, Dave, I'll keep quiet until you're done reading, so I can add the echo to this exact moment.
Shut up.
This exact moment.
After all the effort we put into keeping them a secret, Harry thought, you've got a point, though.
Harry waved a hand at Fran and Liz, prompting them to materialize.
Madame Pomfrey, meet two of the reasons why I've lost any sense of modesty or shame. The taller redhead is Fran, and the shorter one is Liz.
Liz, ever the more forward of the two, stepped forward to introduce herself.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you in person, Madame Pomfrey. Thank you for taking care of our wife for us.
Ow. You made me go first. That was your fault. That's on you, America.
I know. I'm coming to grips with it. All right.
I'm blaming you for this, Steve.
I've got something you can come to grips with.
I still don't know who the fuck among us suggested this damn fic. I still don't know. It wasn't me.
I absolved myself of any wrongdoing.
So it was none of us. Somehow this ended up... It weaseled its way onto the internet and corrupted our schedule.
You know, yeah. If you didn't want to read it, you could have rejected it at first.
No! I don't...
No, I did. Do that.
I don't even have a say in this thing.
What do you mean? Dave, if you didn't have a say, you'd be bitching and moaning about not having a say.
More than I already do?
I don't think that's possible.
So you're telling me you guys don't at least look at a small bit to see if it's...
All right, material. I'll fucking read, okay?
Also, Roy, I have to ask,
did you actually go in here and edit out the sex sections?
No.
I wouldn't put it past him either.
I just want to be sure.
What do you think, Steve? Do you think Roy took out all the sex and that's when the story's a big old bag of poopy heads?
I know when the sex starts.
Oh, Madame Pomfrey prepared to lay into Harry for turning a pair of sentient beings into his familiars, only to pull up short on hearing the tailed girl's words. Well, life, she stuttered out. The nurse turned to look at Harry, who was too busy facepalming to speak up.
Wait, hold on. Now a dramatic reenactment of the facepalm.
As David gives himself a nosebleed.
The facepalm players have presented this.
It really doesn't play well on audio because there's no solid single surface to hit.
Really? It just sounded like you slapped the counter with a medium-sized tilapia.
Hold on, I'll do it again. Oh shit, my mic.
He looks like a girl, talks like a girl, acts like a girl, and takes care of the house like a girl! We're in the 50s! Therefore, Harry's our wife rather than our husband! Liz stated with a teasing grin directed at her master. Harry let out a groan. This is payback for the way I introduced you, isn't it, Liz? Why, I have no idea what you're talking about, my dear lady love.
What did you get here?
The dragon girl shot back.
Fun fact, my first unit was called Lady Love.
Dress yesterday, she said with an over-the-top leer at Harry's nearly nude form.
Why is he always nearly nude? Why does he just do it?
Harry silently gestured that Liz scored a point over him in that exchange.
Hey, Dwight said.
Madame Pomfrey returned to her seat with a bewildered expression, determinedly ignoring the comment about Harry wearing a dress, just like that time I was found in my nightie outside.
Yes.
I'm trying to catch my breath.
Yes.
I would be okay with all the comments of the whole playing of Harry being a magical girl if it didn't seem very... very blatantly transparent that the author's only writing it because they have a super fetish for it rather than, you know, any sort of social commentary.
Would you please explain how and why you've turned a pair of sentient beings into your familiars and why one of them is calling you her wife of all things, Mr. Potter?
I'd be happy to. Let me show you the stat sheet.
When I was a young kid in Jamaica Town, I used to get in party all day.
Oh, no, we're not doing that.
You don't want to do a big musical number?
The big musical number comes after, like, chapter 97. Harry shot a playful glare at Liz, who looks completely unrepentant. They are my guards, basically, after the events at the end of first year.
That's a drink.
After the events at the end of first year, my grandfather decided that Hogwarts was potentially dangerous.
School full of magical things and shit. Definitely not dangerous, totally safe.
And thought I might
I had a grandfather.
I might need some extra security that no one would know about. I used a summoning ritual and ended up calling on Fran and Liz here. Both of them accepted my offer and have watched my back ever since. They don't know what I look like because they've only seen my back. The nurse studied the beautiful but obviously inhuman pair for a moment. The shorter one had an uneven set of horns and a long lizard-like tail. The girl was wearing a scandalously short skirt that made Pomfrey's hands itch to replace with something more decent, like a proper set of robes.
And they were black. Or a Goodrich tire.
Prude! She was obviously the leader of the pair, even though she appeared to be...
Why was that obvious?
I don't know. Check the stat sheet.
Was she the leader of the bunch? Yeah. Did you know it well? Was she finally back to kick some tail?
Even though she appeared to be weaker than the taller redhead with the enormous mace. Wait a minute! Why are you describing these characters now?
Because, you see, the character sheet is coming in the next chapter.
Oh my god. No, like...
A-rank.
We've seen Fran before for like many chapters. Why now?
A++.
How many weeks are we into this?
7!
Wait, really? Plus.
No!
Week 69.
The taller one, Fran, if she remembered correctly, seemed to be far shyer than the lizard girl based on her rather more demure dress.
Senpai-chan doesn't notice me.
She looked more human as well at first glance. God, my blood pressure's going up right now. This is so hot. Madame Pomfrey would have ridden the girl's odd metal legs off his armor if not for the unnatural aura that surrounded her. In fact, both of the two felt odd. Now that the pair was out in the open, they seemed to radiate power. And Savage.
Just watch Kakarot. Soon I will ascend.
Oh no, I don't think I can handle that. I don't think I can handle that this week. Let me get to my second go around, maybe.
And watch me fry, man. Soon I'll ascend.
And the reason Miss Liz, I believe it was, called you her wife? Madame Pomfrey asked again.
Well, that's because she's got a vagina.
I'm sorry. Let me see if I can actually do Downton Abbey. And the reason, Miss Liz, I believe it was... You called you her wife? Madame Pomfrey asked again. Harry waved his hand towards Holly to answer for him. For some reason...
No, he just waved his hand and that was it. She didn't say anything.
For some reason, most of the students here have come to believe that Harry is actually a girl in disguise. The elemental said, fuck you
Bring
all!
Me pictures of Harry!
Wait a minute. Is that what I do?
Carl Batman Raditz J.J. Abrams. What the hell is going on?
Make an incredibly successful movie.
Steve Van Sickle, for fuck's sake!
It's because I'm Batman. Tell me more about your stuff, Roy.
Has anybody made a dude looks like a lady reference yet?
Steve!
Dude looks like a lady.
Steve!
Did you just call me Steve?
No, that's Steve you. Van Sickle's on the goddamn call!
Oh, hi, Steve.
Hi,
David.
Hi, good Steve.
Good Steve.
Hi, Steve. You're way better than other Steve.
You know, the guy who actually runs the show.
This is better, Hank. He's your brother, Hank.
I don't like that very much.
A guy goes and pets a unicorn he's known for years, and suddenly everyone thinks I'm a trap. Harry grumbled to himself.
It's like Master Roshi, but oolong.
This section of the fanfic brought to you by Nintendo 64.
Turning it at me didn't help any, Harry.
Holly shot back. What? No, never mind. The nurse decided she didn't want to know any more about it. The situation sounded bizarre enough as it was.
Do you have any more surprises to spring on me then, Mr. Potter? She asked tiredly.
Harry and Holly shared a look, prompting a groan from the nurse. What is it now, Mr. Potter?
Well, Harry said, Lynn's actually a succubus.
Said succubus returned to her human form, drawing out another groin from Pomfrey. Madame Pomfrey.
Yes, I need all the action I can get.
Madame Pomfrey studied the supposed succubus intently. The girl's odd blue hair, red eyes, and pointed ears denoted her as a non-human. Her apparent age, on the other hand, made the nurse want to box Harry's ears out of principle.
And then you need boots like robot boots. And then my mouth's real tiny when it's closed, ridiculously huge when it's open.
Succubi were supposedly able to change their bodies to match their partner's tastes. So why did the succubus...
Hang on. Succubi. I fucking hate this author.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No, you have to read it verbatim. You don't get to change things.
By the way, just like octopus, the plural, octopuses or octupi are both acceptable. So succubus, succubuses, and succubi are all acceptable.
But succubay is not.
Yes, it is. Hey, Bansicle, you've been to Steve's lands. Bay is, it's the word of the law.
I know, I made the poster. So why did the succubus familiar of a hormonal teenage boy look like a 10-year-old?
Because, Oni-chan, I want you Kawaii Dixune.
Disambiguity. Rob Schneider is a succubus.
No.
Anything else, Mr. Potter? The nurse asked.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Just what kind of life does this boy live? She wondered to herself. He not only had a basilisk as a familiar, but two odd creatures she couldn't identify, a succubus, and the spirit of Hogwarts of all things as familiars.
Wait, is the spirit of Hogwarts the spirit of America, the spirit of the red, white, and blue?
No, the spirit of Hogwarts is Rob Schneider, and he was apparently in some sort of group relationship with some of them. She didn't even want to think about how that happened or how it might end up. Her patients' love lives were none of her business unless it landed them in her care, no matter how she might feel about said relationships.
This won't get out of my asshole.
You gotta be very kinky to end up in Madame Pomfrey's office.
Yo, Pomfrey! I got a mandragora root stuck in my butthole. It won't shut up.
Hold on 1 second. I got to get my mud stuff.
Madam Pomfrey, we used an enlargement spell and it went wrong.
Oh my. Well, we'll just have to suck out the magic now, won't we? Boom.
Harry paused and thought for a moment, drawing a glare from the overwhelmed nurse.
Nope, I think that's it for the moment, he finally answered.
I don't think this person understands what the word glare means.
Yeah, probably not. Good, maybe I can finally get to work on you, Madam Pomfrey said. Should I ask the ladies to leave? She questioned questioningly. Harry shook his head.
It's nothing they haven't seen before, Madam Pomfrey. I don't mind if they stay and watch.
Well, every single time, it changes ethnicity and or age how you read, like, each character.
Didn't you hear the Canadian accent? It's very thick.
Madam Pomfrey eyed the boy for a moment before deciding to let it go. It seemed he was serious about having no issues with being seen in nothing but his underwear. She stood back up and cast a diagnostic spell at Harry's head. Giggity. She frowned when her spell was repelled.
Please remove your blindfold for a moment, Mr. Potter. It's interfering with my spell.
Harry did so, and the nurse tried the spell again. The spell was partially rebuffed, prompting a sigh from Pomfrey.
Well, the nurse said, this will make things more difficult.
So is what? Madame Pomfrey Borat?
No, she's Russian Garfield.
Logan.
Who is Jewish?
Logan is not Jewish.
Tell Logan what to do.
You can't tell me how to live my life.
I'm not telling you how to live.
Born a Gentile, but man.
No, he's not Jewish. I've seen it.
Have you seen this beard?
Have you seen this not circumcision? Beard,
I am circumcised, so...
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure Logs is cut. I mean...
What do you mean pretty sure? Dave, you've seen... You're cheating on me with David?!
What?
Hey,
oh.
Hey, my love is free. You cannot own this body.
Well, let's get to the sexy. We are actually relatively close to the sexy.
Steve-O, how would you know that we're close to the sexy?
Because I did a control F on sex earlier in the, season, okay?
Steve-O read ahead.
Did you say 65?
Yes!
65.
I can't hear you over how loud Roy is. Can you hear me? Can you hear me through the storm?
Actually, it's a good thing there's a song playing right now with wind in the background.
The wind is blowing so loud right now. We are experiencing a hurricane of some kind. Is my magic resistance too high for you to work through? Harry asked. The nurse pursed her lips and thought, no, I think I can work through it. However, it would take a considerable amount of effort. I'd rather not wear myself out trying to get through your thick hide when I have alternatives that can work just as well, even if it will take longer to do. Pomfrey pointed her wand at a cabinet on the opposite wall, summoning several objects. Some of them looked rather familiar. She laid them out on the bedside table for easy access and slipped a stethoscope around her neck. Fran looked surprised to see that the nurse had a traditional stethoscope, thermometer, and blood pressure cuff among the nurse's tools. You use muggle medical instruments? Fran asked curiously.
Not instruments.
My mistake. Equipment. She had thought that magical healers would disdain such things and rely solely on their magics and potions. Madame Pomfrey sent a smile at the curious young woman. Rather surprising.
Using her Apple Watch, she sent a smile.
Yes. No, it was a Pebble Watch. I usually don't need to use muggle instruments, since magic can do the same things, but I am trained in their use should the need arise. We were taught how to use them in nursing school in the event of major medical emergency, when we nurses would need to conserve our magic to treat more serious injuries or maladies.
Your maniples.
I also picked up a few workarounds for scanning and diagnosing people in high magic resistance over the years. It comes in handy when treating Hagrid and Professor Flitwick. Who's Professor Flitwick?
He is a professor, and his name is Flitwick. That's all you need to know.
He was played by
Warwick Davis.
He's a tiny, tiny dude.
The nurse pulled on a set of surgical gloves. I hadn't considered that before, the Chimera admitted. She had forgotten that Harry wasn't the only one in Hogwarts who was resistant to magic. The nurse nodded in understanding. Most people tend to forget how such a thing can complicate my job. Attempts were made to see such training phased out of practice shortly before you-know-who started working openly, she remarked. You may put your blindfold back on for a moment, Mr. Potter. Why would anyone try to end the training? Fran asked.
This is like Metal Gear Solid. It's asking questions that no one cares about and answering them in great detail.
Yep.
Several influential purebloods found out that we were being taught muggle medicine and moved to stomp out the practice, Madame Pomfrey answered. Their prejudiced minds couldn't bear the thought of their precious children being treated by non-magical means. Fortunately, several medical experts stepped in and shot down the idea. Some diseases and accidents, especially potion accidents, can make it dangerous to use magic on the patient. Some curses were also able to interfere with healing magics and make the curse even worse. Once the doctors pounded that fact into their skulls, and a cousin of one of the backers died from complications because he refused to be treated with what he called muggle malarkey, the entire thing was dropped.
Oh, really?
I'm done!
Dun-dun-dun!
I was about to say, Roy, if you didn't interrupt me!
That was a pretty good interlude. I'm glad they really filled in that tidbit of information. Now, please, can we just all die? I'm
done with this. No, we will Adam get Pumphrey to the sex.
Adam brought out a knife and stabbed David in the chest.
Eventually. Oh, thank God. Sweet release.
David couldn't stop talking as he was dying.
If you're good enough, we might get to the sex tonight.
Roy, I must tell you a secret. Come closer.
If I'm good enough.
What is it, David?
No, if everybody's good enough. Like, put your toys away. It's fucking story time.
Steve-O
will turn this car around.
I'm fine with that.
Hey guys, I'm dead. Did you notice?
Hey Dave, you have a fan on your microphone.
No, I don't.
Madam Pomfrey retrieved a mercury thermometer and handed it to Harry, who stuck it under his tongue. Oh, boring.
That's not where that one goes.
Mercury, really?
Please sit down on the bed for a minute, the nurse ordered. Once he had done so, Pomfrey took his left wrist in her right hand. Okay, I'm with you so far. Her fingers sought out his radial artery. They extended like tentacles, feelers, trying to find where it was. Finding that his pulse was strong and regular, she cast a temper spell with her wand in her left hand and began to count. I thought, what was the point of... Oh no, because she... Pomfrey released his wrist a minute later and noted her findings on the medical chart. Your pulse is rather slow, Pomfrey said out loud.
Athlete's I hear the heart. Lob, but I don't hear the dub. Oh, there it is.
Athlete's heart? Fran questioned. When the nurse turned to her with some confusion, the servant trademark elaborated. Most athletes have larger hearts and slower pulses than normal people because of their conditioning. After a while, their heart grows in size in order to pump the amount of blood needed to keep up with their training.
Like the Grinch with an erection.
And activities without stressing their heart too much. I've heard of some cases where athletes' pulses are as low as half of that of normal people, since their hearts can move more blood per pump, and so don't need to beat off as often. Harry is clearly an athlete, a star athlete. He's gotten all that physical exercise, hasn't he? I see, the nurse said. I've noted that our Quidditch players have slower pulses than normal students, but the difference is nowhere near as large as that. You seem to know quite a bit, Miss Fran. If I could do the fucking nanny impression, I would. The tall redhead nodded. Yes, studying medicine is one of my hobbies, along with probably everything else, considering the kind of character I am. I picked up my interest in it from my...
Oh, please, no more long, drawn-out backstories. I'm done. Please, just get to something interesting.
Faja.
Father. Madame Pomfrey looked at the girl, sensing some sadness in her voice. There was obviously no love lost between Fran and her father. It wasn't her place to interfere, though so she turned her attention back to Harry. Oh, that's a shame. I could have done with another, I don't know, 7-8 paragraphs of...
Yeah, I could have gone with exposition for days.
For page and page.
The nurse carefully took the thermometer from Harry's mouth. Oh, still boring. Wary of possible venom residue from his fangs. All right. And noted down his temperature. It was higher than a human's by several degrees. Harry wasn't showing any signs of problems from it, though, so it likely wasn't a problem. Yeah, it's probably not a problem. I won't investigate that. It's not like I'm supposed to, you know, help check these abnormalities. Pomfrey set the thermometer down on the tray for later cleaning. She snagged the blood pressure cuff from the tray and settled it around Harry's arm to take his blood pressure. The nurse settled the arms of the stethoscope against her ears and inflated the cuff. After a minute of careful listening, she fully deflated the cuff and removed it. Who wants to bet right now that none of this has any bearing on anything that's going to happen for the next 50 pages?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yep.
Damn it, I needed someone to win against.
I'll take my $100 million.
I'll take none of this shit matters for 400.
This story was once a story that could have had a lot of promise and sex, but didn't because of poor writing.
This is the story of a girl, but not really because it's actually a guy.
What is Maho Shoujo Kaleido Amethyst?
I don't know!
Pick again.
Back to the reading for 500.
That's the Daily Double.
Well, at least your blood pressure is relatively normal. Pomfrey remarked after removing the stethoscope from her ears and marking down her readings. Liz looked on with a sense of confusion. Did you think it wouldn't be? She asked.
Well, I haven't regenerated yet.
What is normal for Mr. Potter? Pomfrey asked rhetorically. That takes care of your vitals, Mr. Potter. Please stand up again.
And bend over because the glove's going on.
Dash.
All right, Splee,
you gotta check your prostate with my penis.
Hey, Fry Man, I gotta check your prostate with my penis.
The nurse picked up a measuring tape and silently cast a spell over it. The tape came to life, measuring Harry's height, then wrapping around her young patient's head to measure his skull.
Phrenology? Really?
A quill sprang to life on Harry's medical file, noting down the measurements the tape had taken. What is this for? Liz asked. She watched the tape shift down to measure the distance between Harry's eyes, and then the width of his nostrils with a quiet giggle. I'm taking all of Harry's current measurements, Pomfrey answered. The tape shifted down to measure Harry's neck. I want to compare the differences between now and a few months down the road to see how his body grows. Unfortunately, I didn't take such measurements last year or the year before, so I can't completely track how Mr. Potter has grown up so far. The tape was now measuring the length of Harry's collarbones and shoulder blades. That's
a scientific process that we have, you know, half the information for.
So you need a baseline to compare me to, Harry said. Since I'm rather unique, you don't have to anything else to match me against. Precisely, Madame Pomfrey said. I'll admit this is more of my own curiosity than anything else at the moment. But this data can be vital for the in the future.
For the Führer!
Oh, God, no. That's the episode title.
I don't have the air horn ready. I should have put the air horn then.
Heil Voldemort! Heil Voldemort! Heil Voldemort!
Voldemort? Is that where you go by discount bulk Voldemorts?
Where you go by a lack of nose.
Oh.
Let's let him go.
Okay,
let's let him go.
Let him read. Let him read.
Let his ears go until they bleed.
This data could be vital in the future. Should you get injured again? She reached out and taped Harry's file.
Tapped
Harry's file. I do have your vitals from the first year to compare against. From first year to compare against, but little more than that. Her tape was now measuring the width of the boy's hips.
Of his boy? What?
His boy hips.
I'm sorry.
Boy hips, eh?
And then measured his girl hips, which were situated about 2 inches down.
The nurse glanced down at the data collected so far. Harry's measurements so far were rather odd for a boy. His hips were wider than his shoulders, when it should be the other way around. His waist was rather small as well. Okay.
This chapter, we find out that Harry physically looks more like a girl typically does, just like we learned in the last chapter, and the chapter before that.
And
what
the chapter
fucking
before
chances
that?
Of that?
Well,
he hasn't changed from chapter to chapter.
When you have bad writing involved, it's pretty much guaranteed.
Something was bugging Pomfrey about her patient's odd dimensions, but she couldn't put her finger on it just yet. Really?
He took his underwear off, and then she was able to put her finger on it just then.
Harry jerked in surprise when the tape slipped into his boxers to measure the size of his penis and testicles. Well then!
I can't do it.
Just let him finish.
Prompting a laugh from Holly and Liz. Is that really necessary? He asked. The nurse gave him a flat look in answer. I did say I need all of your current measurements. Once the tape measure had finished, ending with Harry's toes, it floated back to the implement tray on its own. Next, the nurse walked around Harry, noting the size and location of a few scars he bore. Remarkably, he didn't have any lasting scars being burnt by fiend fire. Instead, the boy had a set of 7 rain-shaped tattoos around his lower arms. Why does a boy as young as you have tattoos, Mr. Potter?
They're the 7 chaos rings. If I use all of them, I turn into Super Harry. Well, actually, no, sorry. The 7 rings were from Sonic and the Secret Rings, and when he used those, he turned into Dark Spine Sonic, not Super Sonic.
I was going to say this race car Sonic, so he turns into race car Harry.
It's Logan's turn.
What, again?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean again? Did you already read?
Yes.
Yeah, but we've done. We've done everyone.
Oh
shit.
Like, how did this happen again?
I don't know. I must have just completely spaced.
I thought we were figured it out.
I guess it's David's turn.
We can't escape.
David.
Oh,
David.
What page are we on? 68?
I don't know.
68.
Oh, that's right. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Harry preferred to keep the true nature of his command seals secret.
Yeah.
They have to do with how I summoned Fred of this, he vaguely answered.
Is that all you say about it?
Madame Pomfrey asked. Harry just nodded silently. He didn't think letting the nurse know how much power the command seals gave him over his servants was a good idea. She'd likely try to kill him or something for is saving the pair. Madame Pomfrey gave him a suspicious look, but gave up upon seeing his resolute face. Whatever the reason behind the tattoos, they were obviously important to Harry. She moved on, noting that his hands were rather small and dainty for a boy.
Ugh.
A contemplative frown adorned the nurse's face, and she finished her visual inspection. Something about Harry's body was simply off, she thought. His proportions were simply wrong for a boy. There was no sign of... There was no sign of any sort of body hair at all below his neck either. Europeans almost always had body hair.
That's Jesus prejudice. Christ, we get it! He's kind of like a girl!
That's prejudice right there, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Madame Pomfrey,
like a girl, but also just a super twink.
Madame Pomfrey returned the arms of her stethoscope to her ears and stepped behind Harry. She placed the end of the stethoscope in various places across his back, listening to his lungs for any odd noises. Finding no problems, she moved around to his front to repeat the procedure. The nurse then decided to run Harry through a series of ranged motion tests. Harry was known to be rather flexible given his performance at the tournament and during his open training sessions during first year. Madame Pomfrey. Seriously, it's Pomfrey now.
His dick is flexible.
Yeah, man, flexible in that pussy. Where's the air horn? I need the air horn, please.
Sorry, again, I don't have it.
Damn it, you're the worst.
All right.
Hey. Wanted to know just how far his flexibility really went.
All right, Mr. Potter. Next, we'll do some random motion tests.
Wait a minute. One paragraph. Test. The nurse decided to run Harry through a series of range of motion tests. All right, Mr. Potter. Next, we'll do some range of motion tests. You don't need to tell us twice!
It is Metal Gear Solid. It's totally Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, if it's Metal Gear... If it's Metal Gear Solid, here we go. First, I need you to bend over and touch your toes, Pomfrey ordered. Harry promptly folded himself in half.
There was no better way to write that.
She hadn't. Okay, small tangent. There was a movie. Did you ever see The Lost Skeleton of Kadavra?
No.
There's a moment where 2 aliens disguised as humans have to sit down on a couch. They look at each other and he says, fold in the middle. And then they do this exaggerated bowing motion to sit down on the couch. It's hilarious. She hadn't been that flexible at her age. Wait. She hadn't been that flexible at her age. She's Madam Pomfrey continued running Harry through test, occasionally stopping him to feel the joint and surrounding mislies. She found some oddities in his muscle structure. His muscles, while small, were incredibly dense. He had little more fat around his body than there should have been, especially at the buttocks and thighs.
Hey, don't judge. Like, if cake is good and it goes to your butt, you shouldn't stop just because of that.
I have never encountered a time when it's not good to have cake.
I know. Yes, so
there's never
even
a time.
Even if it goes to your butt.
Yeah, if it goes directly.
Especially if it goes to your butt. Where else would you want cake to go?
I don't know.
Your mouth?
Cake. In your
if
mouth.
If we keep reading this, I will give you cake.
Oh, sweet. Let's go fast real quick. The nurse also noted that the demigod's jawbone wasn't showing any signs of squaring like it should when checking his neck flexibility. Harry's Adam's apple was smaller than a boy's normally would be as well. That would explain why his voice hadn't begun to drop yet.
Oh,
so he sounds like a prepubescent as well, Jesus.
The nurse paused for a second when her hand brushed across the patient's pectorals while checking for his shoulder, feeling something odd. He took a closer look. It was beginning to show signs of developing breasts. That wasn't too far out of the ordinary, so pump.
Time's up!
I read. I'm done. I did it.
Right. I'm next. Son of a bitch.
Haha, fuck you.
Finish your drink, Steve-O.
It's finished! Like, three times over, it's finished!
Beep, 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 beep.
Damn it, guys, we're at P69!
I think mine's louder.
Putting on my fedora, getting forked.
Oh, yeah.
I can make mine louder if you want.
No.
Louder!
I demand you guys fight for my amusement with air horns.
I have no idea how loud this is going to be.
Your air horn is weak and pitiful. Steve, show him how it's done.
Yes, master.
That's an air horn.
Oh, yeah. That's
is something wrong with my chest? Harry asked. He saw the way the nurse's gaze and hands lingered there and wanted to know why.
You've got boobs, Harry!
Feeling a little self-conscious after the way that Davies boy kept leering at you during potions? Liz asked teasingly. Harry signed when Madame Pomfrey gave him an inquisitive look. Remember what Holly said about everyone thinking I'm a girl? Well, Roger Davies spent most of the time in potions staring at my chest like I'd suddenly sprout a set of breasts if he looked hard enough, Kakarot.
You mean you didn't?
My name is Goku, and I will defeat you, stupid hair man.
You are, actually, the nurse said matter-of-factly. She could see and feel the telltale swelling around both of his areola.
Gross.
Areola, areola.
Like, that's the... that is the worst way you could have said that word.
Areola.
Oh, God,
Areola, Areola.
No one was still rather small at the moment. Ariel looked confused but unafraid. I am the Prince of All Saiyans. The nurse nodded and picked Harry's charter to update it.
Chowder. Creavers.
It's actually rather common for boys to develop breasts during puberty. No, it isn't!
I developed a great set of awesome rockin' tits when I turned 16.
Unless you're smoking about 4 pounds of hash weed every day. Is it normal to...
Hash weed?
Yes!
No, you've got to inject a marijuana.
No, hash weed that I bought with my money dollars.
Yeah.
No, not the money dollars. That's how the Satan devil gets you.
Yep.
Something like half of my male patients grows breasts in one point or another.
But yeah, they seriously need to check the water if like half the guys are growing breasts.
Though they usually disappear within a few months.
What?
Well, I think they're tumors, and I really just put chemo medication in the water fountains.
I just think like they disappeared in a few months. Were they like trickster boobs?
Pomfrey looked at Harry's rather relaxed expression oddly. He didn't look or sound anywhere near as distressed as her previous patients did when she told the same thing.
Men told the same thing. There's
you
no
got
shade.
Boobs, Harry!
You know,
Harry,
you're yelling, Estino. Are going to switch out your normal clothes for dresses if you get any girlier, Harry! Harley teased. We get it, Arthur! We fucking get it!
I don't get it.
I don't think you get it.
Please explain.
I feel like you don't get it yet.
In lavish detail. Explain in lavish detail, please. So what you're saying is the interplay of the... Harry Potter's own identity is what's causing this story to be a bag of crab ass.
Madam Pomfrey, ignored.
Crab ass.
I almost had it. I almost fucking had it. Madam Pomfrey ignored the pair's banter, focusing instead on the ever-growing puzzle that was Harry Potter.
Oh, come on.
His bone structure was slightly off. His muscles were odd as well, but she attributed that more to his heritage and training than anything else. The boy's fat deposits were also increasing and migrating towards his hips, buttocks, and chest, much like my wife, Bulma.
Oh, yes, Bulma.
Didn't we just cover that in David's bit about how he's, fat in those areas,
Look, we're trying to hammer the point home here for all of the stupid people.
Okay, Steve, you honestly sound like Michael Brisby of the Venture Brothers.
You're welcome.
Panda milk, it keeps the skin supple. Yeah, you're that evil, Steve. You're that evil.
Wonderful. The effect was barely noticeable at the moment, but it added to Pumphrey's confusion. Harry's fairy partner had a point, Madam Pomfrey realized. The hybrid was the most feminine boy she had ever examined. Drink for redundancy!
So well, we should already be dead.
Drink for Ugg. Holy shit, we would die in 6 minutes.
In fact, almost his entire body was built like a girl's. Yes, we know! Something was definitely wrong with him.
His body, which is built like a girl, is built... like a girl.
Read it like Mother's
Treasure. It's built in a feminine way.
David can do his next fucking turn as Mojo fucking Jojo.
I'm not doing that.
David, were you about to read Mojo Jojo as German?
Yes.
Yes,
it was. SS Commander Moho Jojo.
Moho Jojo.
The hybrid, who is the most feminine boy she had ever examined, had a body which was like a girl because he was feminine.
Girl.
Oh.
Something was definitely wrong with him, but she was unlikely to get results from a normal diagnostic spell. Oh. So the entirety of the last 6 pages was entirely pointless.
Oh, come on,
you know how that works out. Oh. Hey, everyone wins back their money.
Yay. She needed to examine Harry's blood right away to get some real answers. The presence of the basilisk venom would make a slightly dangerous, but it still needed to be done. The nurse would also...
You deal with that shit all the time.
The nurse would also need to examine some of his other bodily fluids as well.
I'm serious. You sound just like Michael Brisby from the Venture Brothers.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
It's terrible. He was super paralyzed, and he's basically Walt Disney.
She grimaced, not looking... not looking forward to the group.
I'm going to put myself in your little boy's body.
Not looking forward to the group's reaction to her request. I'm almost done. All right, I'm just about finished. The nurse interrupted a minute later. However, I need to get a few things from you, Mr. Potter.
Ow.
That was the most disappointing page 69 I've ever encountered. I've encountered a lot of page 69s.
That's 69s. A reverse air horn.
Can I go?
This is why we can't let Steve-O have the air horn. He doesn't know how to handle it properly.
Yes, Logan, you may go.
Ugh, God.
I know!
Not as in leave.
Yeah, I meant read. And then leave.
I don't think the word is you get to read. I think the word is you have to read.
Harry sat back down on the bed, pulling Len tight against his left side unconsciously. What do you need? Madame Pomfrey frowned at the rather possessive way Harry held his familiar. He was being far too intimate with the young-looking succubus for her liking. I need a blood and saliva sample from you for testing. Do not worry, she said, seeing the suspicion blooming in his guardian's faces. Guardians' faces?
Yeah, something like that.
I'll destroy the samples after I ran my tests. I'm bound to do so by law. Anyways, wizard law. Why is that? Fran asked. Blood magic can be incredibly nasty, as you all well remember from the incident last year, Pomfrey answered. Because of the danger someone else having your blood can pose, healers are required by law to destroy any blood samples that they take. Some of the more conservative members of the... that's a word. Wizengamot.
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 Tried to make the law apply only to purebloods, but fortunately the law was written to cover all witches and wizards.
Witches.
And wizards.
Wizards.
And the nurse summoned three clear, small containers over to the group. I need the samples in order to perform a few more intensive tests that could be harmful if I tried them on you instead. In fact, one of the tests will outright destroy the blood and saliva samples. Yeah. Also, I avoid most of the interference from your magic resistance by testing the samples in isolation.
Yeah.
Harry conjured an unpoisoned dagger in his right hand. How much blood do you need?
Oh! So what? Did he suddenly become a Lincoln
Park? I'm so metal! How much blood do you need?
Madame Pomfrey held up one of the containers and indicated a point a third of the way up. I don't need very much, just enough to fill a third of the vial. Harry carefully cut a slit in his palm, allowing the blood to flow and...
Harry silted his wrists.
And soon they're going to figure out whether or not Harry's the father.
The nurse...
Or the mother.
I thought he was pledging his allegiance to Solomon.
Fired a healing spell at his hand once he had blood enough. Harry then destroyed the dagger and cleaned the remaining blood from his hand. Thank you, Pomfrey said. Next, I need a bit of saliva in the next vial. Not much, just a little.
What happens to the cotton swabs?
Semen sample. Semen sample.
That's what the third vial is for. Uh-huh. Oh my god! Shit, I read ahead. The demigod was spitting into the second vial. He then picked up the third vial, cocked his head, What's the third vial for?
No!
Yep.
Logan, what's the third vial for?
Don't say it, Logan!
Let me tell you!
Oh, no!
Madam, I took an apprehensive breath. The third vial is for a semen sample!
Packers won the Super Bowl!
I don't have enough chicken for this.
And that was my God.
In 2006.
The entire group jolted like they've been hit by lightning.
This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's describing us.
Yep.
Now let me read out the stat sheet on the semen sample.
Steve!
Yes. Polly, sat Ramrod Street under a makeshift bed. Why do you want Harry's seed? The elemental demanded. The same reason seed? I did the...
Wait, yes.
Why did you suddenly become Pop's racer?
Exactly.
Oh, we actually lost Logan.
The elemental demanded. The same reason I needed the other samples that are set. I have no idea how his inhuman blood could affect his fertility. I don't know if Mr. Potter can crossbreed with humans or other magical races, or if he can even have children at all. You're better off finding out now instead of years down the road when Harry's attempt to start a family.
You know, you would see that with blood, not with semen.
What are you talking about, Val? Do you not know how things work?
Harry, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that it's the same realm of existence than, like...
I mean, She also made him cut his hand to get the blood sample when I'm sure there would have been a spell that would have gotten the sample out of his hand without needing to do that. But he's like, yeah, I'm badass. Stab myself.
How much blood do you need?
I just prefer to think that she handed him like one of those giant moonshine jugs saying,
To reiterate, this is what Madame Pomfrey looks like.
So what did
I miss? Can you imagine this woman looking at you and saying, I need a semen sample?
I need a semen sample.
Yeah, I already linked like two pictures.
A third vial for a semen sample, shut it.
Harry resisted the urge to facepalm. Why was everyone fixated on him having children? First, his grandfather brought it up earlier in the morning, and now, Madame Pomfrey. He was only 13, for heaven's sake. He wasn't ready to have children yet.
He practices abstinence-only education.
I know, right?
Hell.
Oh, no, I've got the fanfic for that. We read it last season.
I don't like to remember bad things from the past.
That was a great fic. What are you talking about?
He hadn't even seriously considered a romantic relationship before today. Is this really necessary? He asked. You didn't think you could change races or inject yourself with the most potent venom in the world without any complications, did you? The mere fact that you're still alive is a miracle in itself. We really do need to test this, Mr. Potter. Len tugged on Harry's arm to catch his attention. When he looked down at her, she nodded seriously. The succubus wanted to know whether she could have Harry's children or not. I want to know, Fran spoke up.
Can you show me?
She blushed when everyone turned their attention to her, but pushed on. I want to know if I can bear your children in the future, Harry. I want to know too. She definitely
we all want to know if we can bear your children, Harry. We really, really want to get knocked up.
She definitely wanted to have kids with Harry in a year or two. Can servants even have children at all? Harry wondered.
Oh, la 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 la.
On behalf of Altruish, Uriel, and Saint Hino, I say you should have tested too, Harry, Holly said. It would be better if we found out now, while we still have a chance to correct any problems, than a couple of years down the road when the girls all want kids.
Kids.
Madame Pomfrey developed a tick over one eye. Six girls! Yes, there are six of them. Her young patient was somehow romantically involved with six girls. What kind of den of sin and debauchery was he living in?
Except he's not.
The best kind. Like
no, see, he said he only considered romantic relationship that day. So before that, he was perfectly content with just, you know, having a purely sexual relationship with all of them.
They haven't debauched yet!
Also, they haven't even... they haven't...
Harry sighed.
Oh, but he's also fallen in... His face has fallen into their breasts and thighs.
Of course.
Lots of times.
Can I eat the air horn?
No!
No.
Harry sighed in defeat. Very well, then. I'll give you a sample of my seed as well. Is there any special requirements I need to know about?
Slow jerk it. That's your requirement, slow jerk it.
I'll read the next sentence.
The nurse shook off her thoughts to answer him. There is just one
it's like, oh man, what could I tell him to do?
The sample must not be contaminated by anything else.
It has to come from anal stimulation.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, she didn't even give him one of those like disinfected wipes to use first.
Special requirement, you're not allowed to actually orgasm, you just have to get the semen sample.
Harry replied. Could you please give us a few minutes of privacy?
God. I'm no longer worried about another reader getting the chapter with sex because none of us will ever get the chapter
sex. Alright, look, it's like whatever that law is where everything is perpetually oncoming and it never actually gets here.
Blue balls?
Something like that, yeah, we'll go with that.
Maho Shoujo Kaleido Amethyst Law. Yeah, I know.
Literary blue balls.
All right, let's keep going. I think we can get a third round in tonight. Oh, it's Roy's turn.
Mad Adam Humphrey stood up and collected.
Can you turn off the echo?
It makes it interesting.
No, it makes it
boring. I'll be in my office testing while you're...
Still not
can
done.
You say, because I'm Mentok the Mind Taker?
Because I'm Mentok.
Never mind, it's not good.
It's not good.
I'm Mentok, the Mind Taker. Come on.
The nurse waved to the girls.
Come along now. Let's give Mr. Potter some privacy for this. You can wait outside the curtains until he is finished.
Giggle, giggle.
I'll need half an hour to complete all the tests, so you can just relax until then.
She left for her office to begin studying her samples, confident that the girls would obey her. The four girls, really, I could have sworn there were only three. There.
Or six.
Oh, no, yeah, there's four. However, we're reluctant to leave.
Do we really have to leave?
Liz quietly whined to Harry. She wanted to watch Harry jack off, and maybe offer him a, quote, helping hand, end quote.
Contamination!
One of Len's hands dropped down to gently caress his inner thighs. His really thick, voluptuous inner thighs that have a lot of fat on them because he actually looks pretty girlish. I don't know if you knew this. Fran's eyes fixated on her master's groin as she slowly wet her lips with olive oil. Holly just shot him a smug look, wordlessly reminding him of her... Of course, it's wordless. They have a mental link. Reminding him of her earlier words about the girls wanting to watch such things. The elemental, trademark, then stripped herself and settled in to enjoy the experience. There was no point in her leaving. She would feel everything he did, regardless of distance. Harry looked at Fran, Len, and Liz. Who are these people? They all clearly wanted to watch him masturbate. Holly would be staying with him regardless due to their sensory link. Oh, I didn't know that. You'd think they would have said that in, say, the previous paragraph, but no.
Do you girls really want to watch me rub one out into a cup?
No!
Yes! Yes. In that voice, yes.
It was his first time doing anything like this with an audience, and it made him a little nervous. No, it didn't. That's a lie. Mm. Harry stifled a moan, feeling Len's fingers brush across his hardening member.
Len's I was imagining soft. More like...
Harry stifled a moan and it sounded like this.
You know, I really wish that every time I ejaculated, it made that noise.
I'm getting close.
I need your help here, Roy. Here it comes.
I got this.
Yes.
It's not stopping.
That's what she said.
Steve, I'm revoking your air horn rights.
Fuck you.
Oh my god.
It's too much air horn.
No.
Len's soft touches were quickly bringing the young demigod to full mast, but then they realized that someone had died the previous day, so they had to, you know, fly half mast instead.
Then it wasn't a boat.
He wasn't?
Flag joke.
No, he's not a boat.
Liz,
I think Len plans to do more than wash.
Liz pointed out with a That's not how you spell lascivious, is it?
Lascivious.
Lascivious.
Liz pointed out with a Darth Sidious smile. It looked like the succubus was going to take matters into her own hands.
If you know what I mean.
Len nodded and swung her left leg over Harry's lap. Okay, I'm with you, so left leg, I've gotcha. Turning her body to sit on his thighs face to face. On his thighs face? The succubus reached up and wrapped her arms around Harry's neck. Three times around, they were very flexible. To pull her master, trademark, down into a soft, lingering kiss. Harry froze for a second, still rather unused to sexual intimacy.
He's going to do it.
That's also a lie. That's a very bad lie.
Yes.
His reluctance was swiftly washed away by the sweet sounds of Darth Sidious moaning in the background.
This would make me very hard.
No! I'm done!
Force lightning gets it hard quickly.
I love electroshock treatment in my balls.
Oh my god.
Have you ever seen someone's 700-year-old balls?
David is... No!
I can discharge the lightning.
Yes, I really like Metallica's Ride the Lightning.
Continue, please.
Still rather unused to sexual intimacy. Lie. His reluctance was swiftly washed away by the sweet taste of Len's supple lips, which he ate off of her face, and her intoxicating scent, which literally made him drunk. She smelt like a distillery. Harry wrapped his arms around Len's slender waist. He was also made of rubber, so it wrapped around several times, to draw her closer. They were now tangled together like a pretzel, and it became very unsexy, losing himself to her gentle...
Did Harry eat a devil fruit?
Gum, gum, gun, pistol, yes. Fist is rope, no Zorro. He's the best character in this show.
Len smiled against Harry's lips when she felt him relax. Her hands came down from her lover's neck to tease his sensitive nipples, which actually had quite a bit of... There was quite a bit of flesh in his, his chest area. He was starting to grow breasts. I don't know if you knew this or not. I should probably tell you about how he was starting to grow breasts. Drawing a moan from him, the succubus caught his lower lip between hers and tugged on it gently and accidentally pulled it off because his flesh was kind of rotting. She leaned back with a light flush, but it didn't get the turd all the way down the toilet, so she had to...
No, wait. Yeah.
She leaned back with a light flush and a smile. Len would have preferred to drag out her seduction of Harry. That's, you're not seducing him.
He's plumb seduced right there. I mean, he's got like seven masks going on.
That's not what her seduction cups are saying.
Yeah.
Len would have preferred to drag out her seduction of Harry for far longer.
Oh, please don't on our account.
But she needed to draw out his seed for the nurse's tests.
Seed.
And then they would go plant it out in the yard, and it would turn into a beautiful oak tree.
No!
a beautiful hairy tree?
Rev it on my face, cock.
All right.
If she got the first load out of Harry quickly enough, she could have enough time to suck out a second round to share with everyone while the nurse was still busy.
What?
All right, guys, we've got to ration this out carefully, because we've got so much to go around until the end of the day.
All right, that's like hopping gears from first to fifth. No clutch either.
The clutch has been broken. Now it's like Pass the Parcel, where we're wondering who's going to get the actual sex bit.
I'm here.
And
no, it goes to a staff proper. If it's going to be anybody, it's going to be me.
No, it's Splee.
Fuck Splee. So, he's kicked. He's out.
No, it's
Splee. So what happened to the nurse? Did she not, like, leave with the girls?
I'm pretty sure all our questions will be answered as long as the question is, how girly is Harry's body?
It's pretty girly. Let me tell you. It'll take about 3 pages.
Splee, please read.
Only
3 pages. And try to expedite.
Expedite.
And she was like, oh, you girls should come with me. And they were just like, nah, we good.
Harry stared into Len's seductive ruby eyes through his blindfold. Wait, why is he wearing a blindfold?
He's not
anymore. Because he's like Cyclops from X-Men.
Utterly wishing he hadn't have to wear the thing so that nothing would be between them. Len reached around behind her back to take his hands and remove them from her buttocks. He hadn't even realized his hands had been massaging her pert derriere until she stopped him. This girl is dangerous, Harry thought to himself Harry thought to himself as Len got off of his lap.
Can you stop making that noise?
It's harder for him to breathe through that than me, so you can't do that.
It was easy to forget that childlike blue net. Lunette?
Yes, she has blue hair.
Was actually a succubus with centuries of experience in the arts of seduction and sex. Len could turn an inexperienced boy like him into a love slave with utter ease if she had a mind to. She already has, Holly replied to Harry's internal musings. Any further thought fled the pair when Len began working off Harry's boxers while Fran and Liz closed in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think you were going to get sex? Too bad. Waluigi time.
XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX patient's current distress. She frowned slightly as the result of her first scan. The boy's magical resistance was even higher than the nurse had first believed. It would take her most power-intensive scanning spells in order to get any useful result. She let out a sigh. This was going to take a lot longer than she at first thought. She was distracted from her task by the office door opening 5 minutes later. The nurse looked up to see the young blue-haired girl that used to be Mr. Potter's cat enter with the third sample jar in her hands. Wait, a sample jar? I thought it was a vial.
No, it was clearly a mason jar.
Jesus Christ.
It was a whiskey jug.
Madame Pomfrey's eyes widened with indignation. Seeing what appeared to be a 10-year-old carrying around a cup full of semen.
I knew it! Masturbating makes you younger! I'm gonna go jerk off for 3 days!
Have fun! And don't forget, coconut oil if you get chafed.
Yeah.
That wouldn't save young Mr. Potter from a lecture about being impropriety.
Impropriety!
Of having a girl deliver his semen sample in his place, though.
So hot.
Len set the used cap before the nurse with an odd little smile playing across her lips. The nurse's mind froze momentarily upon seeing it. Surely, a boy as young as Harry wouldn't have allowed the girl to watch him play with himself. No matter how little he minded being seen in the buff, there was simply no way.
No way!
Len cocked her head to the side, seemingly waiting for Madame Pomfrey to say something. Oh, yes. It'll take me a little longer to finish the work here. You can expect me in about, 25 minutes. The nurse finally said. Len nodded and quickly left the room.
A few minutes later, Madame Pomfrey heard a distant...
I was waiting for a jerk-off session with Harry
Potter. The saddest
Potter.
Thing is I had to go check fanfiction.net to make sure Roy wasn't actually trolling us.
He wasn't.
I know. See, I've got notes at the end of what I've changed.
Okay. David, you're up.
Again.
Huh? Again.
You know, I'll grant you, this was posted to fanfiction.net, not adultfanfiction.net, so it makes a little more sense that it's just that it's mostly not sex, as opposed to the other way around.
Well, Fred, no, 71, like, by right? Default,
I said a little more sense.
74.
Okay. It's just that you have to change the settings for the filters to get the mature content.
Yeah, Len hastened back to the ward, intent on touching on Harry again before the nurse finished work. The succubus wasn't around to let Harry backslide into obliviousness now that she and the others had finally made some progress romantically. She had been celibate for years now and hoped to have Harry end her dry spell soon. After centuries of sleeping or wandering the world with Irusiad, Len had finally found someone to settle down with and have a family with. The fact that he came with a bevy of beautiful women that Len had come to love as much as he did Harry was a pleasant bonus for her.
Madame Pomfrey shook her head and returned to her task. This time, she started working on Mr. Potter's saliva sample. His estrogen levels were very high for a baseline human bae, the nurse noted from her scan. In fact, the levels were so close to what a girl at the same age would have. That would explain why he's growing breasts. However, his testosterone levels were about right for a pubescent bae. So why wasn't he showing any signs of male development outside of his gonads? I'm going to tell you why, guys.
Why is it, David?
It was beginning to look like young Harry was becoming some sort of hermaphrodite.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, no, Steve, did you know that Harry's got he's got like a really girlish body?
I don't care anymore.
he's got pretty high estrogen levels.
It didn't make any sense to her. His birth records didn't show any sign of that sort of thing. Was it the result of the blood adoption? Oh, hold on. I'm gonna try to read this like dramatically.
He's so upset that he got shafted on that one.
All those years ago? And just what would happen?
What else?
All she could really do for the moment was blame magic. Until she had more answers. Typical Christian.
Magic, damn it. It's like the opposite of science.
Are you sure it's the Christian or the Dawkins?
Typical Satanist. They practice magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
She then shifted focus to Harry Potter's sperm sample. Oh. Her doubts about the young boy's future fertility had just doubled upon seeing his estrogen levels. The results of testing the semen left nothing but more questions for the poor nurse. Harry's high estrogen levels.
So I just said poor nurse?
I said poor.
Okay, yeah, no, I thought I
No, not the whore nurse.
Harry's
I heard poor nurse.
Estrogen levels should have rendered him sterile. However, her tests showed that his fertility was actually on the high side.
Looks like we've got a mystery, gang.
Jinkies! Madame Pomfrey shook her head. She really would have to blame it all on magic after all.
Ruh-roh!
Magics?
Like zoinks! Oh god, my voice. Madame Pomfrey went back to Harry's blood sample. It was unlikely she would find her answers there, but she could at least find out if her vague fears about possible side effects from being injected with basilisk venom were right or not. The level of basilisk venom remaining in Harry's blood was a serious concern. The venom wasn't breaking down or flushing from his body anywhere near as quickly as it should have, even though it had been 9 months since he had been injected with it.
He then gave birth to a basilisk.
Wait. This takes place after the events of Chamber of Secrets?
The Chamber of
Excretions. It takes place at some point in the third year, I believe.
That would have to be remedied soon before certain complications could set in. Harry's body had already shown the odd ability to adapt to abnormal circumstances.
Especially if, that 18-inch dragon penis inserted into his rectum.
Free the beast. If the venom wasn't removed from his system in the near future, his body might actually begin producing more basilisk venom, or at least a close approximation of it. The results could be deadly for those around him if the venom somehow mixed in with his sweat or salivae production.
Saliva.
Things practically heartbreaking for the boy if the venom turned his semen toxic. Could actually kill a bed partner.
Accidentally.
Steve-O, shut up! It's not actually correct, spelled correctly, even.
Accidentally kill a bed partner when he became old enough for such things.
It's sort of like if your jizz had the same effect on somebody as the false grail at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, God.
That would be an awkward thing to happen post-coitus, let me tell you.
That would!
It seems you have died. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'd call you a cab.
I'm 75! Madame Pomfrey sighed as she thought, how to go about treating Mr. Potter's issues. Nothing about the case would be easy. She would have to find a way to bring Harry's hormones back into proper balance and remove the venom from his system.
Why?
Neither task would be quick or simple. To add to the difficulty, the boy's resistance to magic and potions that include any sort of snake ingredients would render treatment that much more difficult.
This is just going to waste another, like, 20 pages of her trying to do this and it not working.
And then them explaining how feminine he is again. The nurse...
Wait, did you say he was
Harry's
feminine?
Hips were so wide that they were taking out the entire doorway.
The nurse rocked back in her chair, racking her mind for possible solutions. She lacked the equipment or specialized training to deal with problems as odd as Potter's. A specialist from St. Mungo's?
Yes, oh, hey!
Mungo's!
Hey, you guys, I've read the books. I know about St. Mungo's. I'm going to write it in this story now. Yeah!
A specialist from St. Mung Divers might be able to help her sort out Potter's hormonal imbalance. That wouldn't help his other problem, though. Other problem. Perhaps the boy's family would know a way to work around his magical resistance? Thinking about Harry's unusually high magic resistance took her mind on an odd tangent. Oh, don't you fucking write in there that you're actually taking us on a tangent!
Yep.
How fun this is.
Oh,
beautiful.
His magical resistance was getting to the point that nothing but the most powerful rituals would have any effect on him within a year. The Gorgons, who were far older than Harry and shared blood with him, must be
and also don't exist.
Must be even stronger against magic than he was. So had actually been bound by the mistress contract young Malfoy attempted to force her into? Malfoy was not a strong wizard. Even with the assistance of a magical contract and his blood, the boy could never hope to force Potter into obedience. Even the senior Malfoy would be unable to do more than inconvenience the boy now. So there was no way for either of them to actually enforce the contract on Mr. Potter's older siblings. Harry, on the other hand, was far more powerful than either of the Malfoy men and a blood relative of the Gorgons. Hi, precious. Oh, don't lick me right now. It's going to make me feel really weird.
Well, at least she's not farting right
now. You say that.
Yeah.
He likely had the agreement from both of the Gorgons when he made the contract with Year Yale as the lord for the Malfoys as well. Could he have accidentally bound both of his sisters as his concubines in truth while trying to save one of them from a worthless and an unenforceable contract? Madame Pomfrey shivered at the thought of the boy's likely reaction should she be right. Should she bring the possibility up with him or keep her peace? I have no idea what any of those words meant. None.
Madame Pomfrey, will you suck out the venom?
Oh, Steve, it's your turn.
Oh, hey, you guys. I found a fanfiction called Maho Shoujo Collider Amethyst, first version.
Oh, God.
No.
That is the anti-air horn.
Madame Pomfrey re-entered the room with a pinch of luck.
she quickly changed in shock upon hearing, seeing Harry lying on the bed with all his familiars draped across his body like a living blanket. Fortunately, they were all fully dressed. What in the world are you doing? This is a place of healing, not a bordello.
That's the same.
That didn't mean she would let it there loose.
Yeah, I was going to say, because when you get that feeling, you want sexual healing.
My mind's...
I'm just saying, man.
Look, sometimes you can feel it coming in the air tonight.
At 70 miles an hour, no less. Harry sighed and forced himself into a sitting position. He didn't do anything to remove his familiars, though. Having them so close was simply too comfortable for him to give up easily. Len sat up in his lap, as always. Fran and Liz bracketed him, and Holly had wrapped herself up in her partner's hair on top of his head.
What?
I don't know.
So, how's it look? Is there anything I should be worried about?
He looked at Madame Pomfrey.
Yes.
Who wore a thoughtful expression. The nurse...
Maybe I should go with the thoughtful... I think the thoughtful expression really goes well with my robes today.
The nurse took a deep breath and let it out slowly.
There are a few things I'm concerned about, Mr. Potter.
Oh?
The demigod questioned.
What's the matter?
The basilisk venom in your bloodstream is the biggest problem. The venom still hasn't broken down or been flushed from your system yet. I'm concerned that it may begin to affect the rest of your body if it isn't removed,
the nurse said. Harry looked confused.
What do you mean? I'm immune to snake venom, so how can it affect my body?
You may be immune to basilisk venom, but I doubt those around you are. There's a possibility that the venom may start influencing your... bodily emissions if we were to leave it in your system.
So my gas will literally be noxious.
Who are these mystery men?
Ben Stiller, Kenan Thompson, Hank Azaria, William H.
Wrong. They are the Super Squad.
Oh.
What?
Harry asked nervously. That was far more ominous than he had expected.
Are you aware of how anti-venom works? The nurse asked.
Snake, are you aware of how anti-venom works?
What the hell is anti-venom?
Well, Snake.
Harry nodded.
Yeah, it passes after the venom is victim and neutralized it.
You are going to have to read that again, sorry.
Read it like Snake.
Yeah,
It binds itself to the venom in the victim's body and neutralizes it. The inert venom and the leftover anti-venin are then flushed from the body like any other waste. My inherent abilities stop any snake venom without any need for anti-venin. What does any of that have to do with this?
Simple! Nurse Pomfrey responded. Like you just said, the venom is normally flushed from the body after it's been neutralized. Due to the nature of the basilisk venom in your own body, however, that hasn't happened to you. The venom is still in your body and still at full potency. Should anyone accidentally come in contact with your blood, I'd estimate they would be dead within minutes. Even beings with high resistance to normal poisons and venoms would be at risk.
That reminds me of, it makes me think of Uncle Jack from We Happy Few.
Well, anyone who would come into contact with your blood would be dead within minutes.
So it would kill Geralt?
Looking at that slash vac.
All right,
are we
on.
Done? I stopped caring.
Hooray! We can be free!
No, we're chocolate not done! No, it's Roy's
hands up,
turn.
Hands up if you've read twice.
Yeah, Roy. It's just Roy and Splee that are left.
Harry glanced down at Len, then at his servants, trading with worry. He never thought about the danger he could pose to Len or some of the others if they touched his blood. The only ones who could touch it safely were his sisters, and maybe Fran and Liz.
Why is this an episode of General Hospital?
Let's say probably everyone. Probably everyone's okay. It's probably not a problem. Everyone else would either get ill or die outright. Fox die, that is. I see, Harry said quietly. I'm afraid your problems don't end there, Mr. Potter. Madame Pomfrey stated gravely. There's more, Holly said. Having toxic blood was bad enough, especially since one of the women Harry was entering an intimate relationship with was a vampire, and Liz had admitted to having a fondness for biting people last year. Of course she had. The nurse nodded. Possibly. My concern is that your body might actually adapt to the basilisk venom and begin producing more of it on its own. Probably since that would make you even more badass, that's probably what's gonna happen. Normally, such a thing would be completely impossible in nature. Unfortunately, magic can make the impossible a certainty.
We need to somehow remove the venom, or at least reduce the amount of it in your blood before that happens. Harry thought about it for a moment. What kind of effects could that sort of thing have? Madame Pomfrey let out a sigh. This would be a bit awkward to explain, but Harry needed to know. One of my biggest concerns should that happen is that the basilisk venom might infiltrate other bodily fluids than your blood. She watched Harry's pale face turn completely white and nodded. Yes, there's a possibility that your saliva and your semen could turn toxic.
And your piss?
No, not your piss. That's fine. It's sterile and he likes the taste.
Delicious!
If you can dodge a succubus, you can dodge a ball. You would never be able to lay down with a woman other than your sisters without killing them.
Thank you for presenting that possibility, Madame Pomfrey.
Harry stifled an urge to panic. This was even worse than he feared. The possibility of killing one of the girls, especially because of making love to them, chilled him to the bone. Do you have any ideas about how long I have before that happens? Or a way to remove the venom, Madame Pomfrey? I'm Batman, the new sugarhead. I'd give you another year before anything irreversible happens. As to removing the venom, I can't think of I can't think of
You can do this!
Normally, we would just use anti-venom and let your body flush the venom out on its own. Unfortunately, there is no antidote for basilisk venom, and it can't be vanished.
It can't be vanished? What kind of verb is that?
The best one.
Anything we do will need to take your resistance to magic into account. We need to find another way. Fran frowned thoughtfully, an idea beginning to form in her mind. Is the venom only in your blood? She asked. Yes, it is, the nurse answered. Why do you ask? Fran smiled at Harry. Because I'm Batman. How about removing the venom by dialysis? Which we know about, because we're magical creatures, obviously.
We're magical, but we're not above using kidneys.
Dialysis, Harry said out loud. He nodded slowly. That might actually work.
What is this dialysis? The nurse asked curiously.
I think it's Splee's turn, right?
Yeah, it is. Oh, God, David, not that
again. What is this stupid emotion you call dialysis?
Well, you see, the emotion dialysis is triggered in the kidneys, where most of the spleen lives.
Here is our resident spleen expert, Sir Spleen, to tell you about it.
We're still wanting to learn about the spleen. Tell us about
it. I'm not going to tell you about anything about the
spleen. Why would you keep that information to yourself?
I don't know anything about the spleen.
His Bill How do you spleen. Not spleen
humanity spleen. Needs to know.
How do you not know about the spleen Manatee. When it's your name?
Yes.
Harry shot her a surprise look.
She died from a surprise look. It penetrated her kidneys.
My muggle.
Apparently, I knew about spleens and knew how to.
My muggle training covered basic diagnosis and treatment for the most common injuries and ailments. Mr. Potter, Madame Pomfrey said in response, "I am a school nurse, not a specialist." Fran spoke up. Since she knew more than Harry about the subject, dialysis is a medical procedure that is used when the patient's kidneys have failed. It cleans out toxins It cleans out toxins from the blood, like your kidneys do. Dialysis works by first creating an access point in the bloodstream, normally in the arm or leg. Several times a week, the patient is hooked up to an artificial kidney called a dialysis machine. The blood flows through the machine, where it is cleaned of the toxins and is pumped back out into the patient. We might be able to use a similar setup to remove the venom. Madame Pomfrey looked at Fran with a smile. I see! Thank you for the clear explanation! The Chimera smiled back and snuggled into Harry's side a little more closely.
Harry's soft, fat, slightly more fat deposit-y side that he has because he's got a slightly girlish body.
Harry piped up. Do you think it will work?
No.
I have no idea. I don't know, the nurse said. And I've had to say, think that entirely too many times today. Why can't things be simple with you, Mr. Potter? Harry just gave her a fang-bearing grin in response. I might be able to come up with something. How do we separate the venom out? How about sympathetic magic? Holly proposed from the top of Harry's head. Yep. We could use a sample of Sasha's venom to draw the stuff out of Harry's blood. Magic may...
Yeah, sure, fine. Let's go with that. Yeah, plot points.
Magic may make the venom resistant to being cured or vanished, but I doubt the wizard who created the basilisk thought of preventing it from being removed that way.
No, this might actually be like the closest thing to an actual plot point, and it might carry us through most of the rest of the fic, I think.
Oh, finally, final stretch. Here we go. Madam Pomfrey considered the idea. So you propose removing some of Harry's blood, filtering the poison from it, and then returning the cleansed blood back into his body?
No, I'm proposing removing some of Harry's blood, filtering the poison from it, and then returning the cleansed blood back into his body. How is that so hard to understand?
It's never been tried before, since the venom kills so swiftly. But since Harry is immune, we can take more time to remove it without fearing for his life. Removing the blood would make it easier to work on without stressing your body too much or dealing with your magic resistance as well. It could work, she mused. Though,
I have to figure out who it is right now, because it's not King Candy anymore.
Though we would have to do it over time to prevent any more complications. A series of treatments over a few days or weeks would be better than doing all of your blood in a single day.
Not if you're Keith Richards.
Harry relaxed slightly, his mind focusing on the potential solution of his new problem. How long do you think it would take to make the equipment to do it? And is there anything you need from me besides this sample of Sasha's venom?
I need a semen sample.
Not even the air horn is making me happy anymore.
You need a new sample.
I feel so relieved that we're finally done with this.
No, we're but not. No, we're not. Still have a, we're on page 79 of 127.
He's free for the week.
Attention, shoppers. Steve-O is officially done with this shit.
I've been done with this shit since the first week we did it.
And passengers, if you look out on the left side of the craft, you will see Steve-O Bortz, who is done with this shit.
Plummeting towards the earth.
Still not as bad as Sonic.
I've been eating my shoe this entire episode.
No, this is far worse than Sonic and the Search for Love.
Like, this is worse because you can tell the author could potentially have some writing chops. Really? It's not terrible. What's terrible is the fact that every single chapter started with this huge disclaimer. About all these properties and all this sex.
How much sex there was going to be.
Yes.
But no, that's not why. Like the author is, you're being tricked into thinking the author has talent. But this
I earnestly think that they do.
Yeah, like technical writing skill possibly. But they also don't know how to get to a point like Hideo Kojima. But the thing that's really aggravating me is that it's like Metal Gear Solid. It's super politically charged, but. Even worse than Metal Gear Solid, it's dealing with it's politically charged about things that don't even remotely exist. It's just trying to, it's trying to have political opinions about magic shit. There's no allegory at all. So it's just a bunch, it's 127 pages of wasting our time.
This has been Friday Night Fan Fiction. We'll be back next week if at all possible, because I don't even fucking know anymore.
If this is the fic that beats you, then...
No, I refuse to be beaten, but I may need to take, like... What was that movie with Brad Pitt, 7 years in Tibet? That sounds nice. That sounds really nice.
They're going to die hard, like Brad Pitt in that movie.
I want to try out that pigs in a blanket pizza from Pizza Hut.
I tried it, and I came as close to death as I possibly thought I could, safely.
Is it that bad?
Well, no. Eating it is not that bad. It's 10 minutes later when your arteries start to say, hold on, somebody put a pound of quarters on the railroad tracks.
Oh, okay.
Will feel like death.
See you next week.
Is it worse than eating Taco Bell?
We'll see you next week. Thank you
to
our guests.
Taco Bell is good.
Taco to our guests. Taco yes, to Taco our chatters. Taco to our listeners.
I'm hungry.
Taco
to everybody. Tomorrow is Taco Tuesday.
Taco air horn.
Today is Tuesday for me. I can make tacos tonight.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco air horn.
What is it like in the future?
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fan Fiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanFiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fan fictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Cupanova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Mucho Gusto Los Medanos by the Towson State University Jazz Ensemble. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.